from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, November the 29th, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Now let's get things started officially with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. It says you can survive on charm for about 5 minutes. After that, you better know something. Yeah, well, I've learned through experience that I don't have enough charm to survive for any amount of time.
You're worthless and uninteresting.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational portion of the blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Do or die.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Indeed you do.
You might be quizzed.
Hey, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1929, aviator Richard Byrd flew over the South Pole. He had no desire to land, and I don't blame him. Boy, I sure hope that plane had a good heater. And it was on this day in 1942, the U.S. Office of Price Administration rationed coffee for everyone to just 10 pounds a year. Wow. Then again, it was wartime, you know. Man, I used to go through 10 pounds of coffee a week.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Our local news talk radio station in town, the big conservative station, is KTRH 740, big 50,000-watt blowtorch signal. And they've been around since the 1920s. They're owned by iHeart. And their conservatism is a lot like the conservatism you probably hear in your own hometown on an iHeart station, carrying shows like Sean Hannity, Buck, and gosh, I keep forgetting the other guy's name, the guy who founded OutKick. Anyhow, it's a pretty good station. And in 10 minutes' time, you can get a pretty good idea of what's hot and what's not in the news cycle on any given day. For instance, here's a list of their stories right now. What patriotism? Many Americans now unwilling to fight for their country. Here's another story. TikToker's embracement of Osama bin Laden leads to calls of treason charges. Here's another one. U.S. economy. Red states could become the future of America. I think they already are. And oh, yeah, this story. Almost one in five home sales failed to close in October, according to Redfin. Kind of perplexing stories, but it's very reflective of the direction that this current administration is taking us all. I mean, you take any kind of a company, a privately owned business, and how well the company does is usually set at the top. Yes, you need good warriors. You need a good labor force on your team and your company. But if you're the owner of the company, you're the inspiration. And the best managers are the ones who motivate through inspiration rather than intimidation. My last boss at the radio station, the last radio station I worked for, Cox Media Group in Houston, fellow by the name of Johnny Chang. See, he motivated the staff through inspiration, not intimidation. And he could ask anybody on the staff to do something for him, and they would gladly do it. He was very well liked. And he was very businesslike about his work. Now, he kidded around a lot with the staff. But when he needed something done, he could very succinctly point out what needed to be done. And that was it. He didn't have to explain why it needed to be done. Everybody kind of pretty much understood that. And we need to do that now where our country is concerned, because I'm sure you already realize this. I'm not telling you anything. This isn't exactly a news bulletin when I say we are a lost country. So let's go to this story that's on KTRH's website. What patriotism? Many Americans now unwilling to fight for their country. Now, it's a story with the byline B.D. Hobbs, who's on the KTRH staff. And it says, with growing threats around the globe, China, Russia, and of course the Middle East, a new survey found that the overwhelming majority of American voters are not willing to fight for their country. All right, and I see something wrong with that statement. I think if we were attacked, Americans probably would be pretty willing to fight. Yeah, even Gen Zers, I think, would volunteer. Maybe not a majority of them, but a good many of them would. But there's no threat against us directly yet. We're being asked to fight for somebody else's country. Now, please explain to me what is in that for us. Another trading partner? We don't need that. And when you look at the direction Canada is going right now under this putz, Justin Trudeau, it's just downright scary. You have Mexico on our southern border. They don't seem to be really in sync with the free enterprise way of things. They have a socialist president. Canada to our north, you got Justin Trudeau, a woke idiot, a moron who can't find his ass with both hands on a GPS. And too many Canadians seem to be behind this guy. It's sickening. Which, by the way, I have a story coming up about Canada, about Alberta. It's great stuff. So don't wander off. So let's continue this article. It says, according to a new poll from Echelon Insights Research Institute, 72% of Americans say they wouldn't fight for the U.S. if we had a conflict. Now, see, that part's scary. So retired U.S. Army captain and now Houston attorney Sean Timmons says, it doesn't surprise me that individuals would not be willing to fight. It's not the country that I grew up in or the country that I know or live in. That's the narrative that a lot of individuals see when they watch MSNBC and CNN and go to public schools. And the man is 100% right. See, that would be the left's anti-American agenda that appears to be bearing fruit right now. This is what we're living under. So what's the solution? Well, Timmons said we need national unity and we need patriotism again. Unfortunately, our institutions have been hijacked by a far-left ideology, and unless we reverse this process and fully admonish these individuals who are hostile to our way of life and stand up to it, we're going to continue to sink into a divided abyss. He's 100% right. Just look at all the protests favoring Hamas. Those people should be identified as anti-American because they are. And half of these idiots don't even know who Hamas is and what Hamas wants. They don't care. They just want to go anti-Israel. They want to go anti-establishment. By the way, this poll found that 30% of young people ages 18 to 29 would rather surrender than die fighting. Man, that is creepy. So to kind of reinforce the story here, the sentiment that we're dealing with right now, let's go to Fox News and Pete Hegseth.
The United States Navy revealing they will likely fall short of their 37,000 sailor recruiting goal for the year, estimating that they'll be short 7,000 new sailor recruits. Could woke Department of Defense policies be to blame, at least in part, or a big part? Retired Army Ranger and Special Forces operator Tim Kennedy joins us with his take. Tim, great to see you. That's a big number, missing your mark by 7,000. There's been a lot of ways in which the Navy is recruited to include trans videos from sailors saying, we want you to serve too. What do you make of the Navy falling so short and shortages across the DOD?
Yeah, I think we've failed to identify our identity. You know, we are a warrior nation, and serving your country should transcend personal identity. And when we're pointing towards a personal identity, whatever that be, we're doing it wrong. You know,
yeah.
We have been the most inclusive body of people in American history, the military, you know, looking back to like Triple Nickel, the Tuskegee Airmen, Navajo Windtalkers, we were always the first to bring in with open arms as many as we could that wanted to serve their country. But the operative word was serve. So I think we're really missing the mark on who we're trying to talk to here.
It's such an important point. You join the military not so that you can stand out as an individual, but so that you can join a team that has a bigger purpose. And so if you're appealing to a certain identity, you get a certain person, or you don't get anybody at all. I mean, how much is the military, how much do you think the whole, the woke thing, the DEI thing, the trans thing has to do with how potential recruits view the Navy or the Army or any service?
It's a good question, Pete. You know, I want everyone to know that the military, and you know this, we do not look at skin color. We do not look at race,
Absolutely.
Creed, religion. Like, come and serve, but know that you are going to be part of the baddest group of people on the planet. And we're the baddest group of people on the planet because we want to serve. You know, and America being a superpower has been squandered in every single measurable way. Scientific, technology, production, manufacturing. The one thing that is keeping us there in that seat is our military. And it's because it's full of men and women that want to serve. You know, them picking specifically a trans group, which is less than a tenth of a percent within the military. You know, like, why they're making these strategic decisions blows my mind. You know, 16% of military are women that can now serve at the front line on combat arms in special operations. Let's target them. You know, but most importantly, like, we need war fighters because we are looking at perhaps the scariest enemy in our nation's history.
You're absolutely right. And where will our readiness be? First part of readiness is having enough people to be ready. And then later on, you have to focus them and make sure they have the training and equipment to do the job. But the ethos, too, is what you're talking about, Tim, that team ethos that is lacking right now. Appreciate your insight, everything you continue to stand for, Tim.
My pleasure, Pete.
Good to see you.
Now, again, that young fellow's name is Tim Kennedy, and he is the founder or co-founder of Save Our Allies. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm against helping our allies, because I'm not. But this Ukraine thing, you know, is going to turn out like Afghanistan and Vietnam before that. 20 years of nothing more than a quagmire. And that hurts our economy. And when it hurts our economy, it hurts. Who does it hurt the first? The very first people to get hurt in a situation like this are the poor. And they get hit the hardest, but they get hit first. People who have a good job, you know, they can slog along in a tough economy. But what's happening to this country right now is unconscionable. Should we help Taiwan if Taiwan is attacked by mainland China? Yeah, probably. But I hate to tell you this, right now, the will of the American people is not there for that. So, just something for you to think about. The title of that article, again, by B.D. Hobbs on the KTRH website was, What Patriotism? Many Americans Now Unwilling to Fight for Their Country. Well, if the people of America feel that way, you can pretty well bet there's a good reason. I want to introduce you to one hell of a great lady. Her name is Danielle Smith. Now, she is the premier of the Canadian province of Alberta. That is where Calgary is. Alberta is to Canada, I think, what Texas is to the United States. And just the other day, Alberta enacted what they call the Sovereignty Act. Because somebody has to fight against that pinhead, Justin Trudeau. Because Trudeau is making a mess of the energy situation in Canada. Oh, he's even more woke than our Democrats are down here. And the Western world is in peril, energy-wise. We are in peril. We're in worse shape right now than I think we were with the big oil embargoes of the 1970s. And we had two of those, remember, 74 and 78. People are hurting. And none of this is necessary because it's bogus science that's directing these moves on the part of the left and these envir-Nazis. Well, this wonderful lady, Danielle Smith. Miss Smith got up and delivered a nice little spiel at a press conference, and I believe this was on Monday.
Ottawa persists in trying to regulate and remake Alberta's electrical system from generation to transmission to distribution, which will make life more expensive for families and put the reliability of our grid at risk. And they're pushing ahead with their plan, even though Section 92A of the Constitution of Canada is clear that legislating and regulating the development of electricity falls within the jurisdiction of the provinces. Alberta's government is committed to protecting Albertans from federal overreach. That is why this afternoon I intend to table a resolution in the chamber under the Alberta Sovereignty within a United Canada Act. We developed this legislation to shield the province from federal intrusions, and we're using it now because the consequences of this particular overreach would be so severe. Alberta will bear the largest share of the expenses required to meet these absurd targets, and consumers and businesses will see their bills soar. If the federal government has its way, many people will be left without electricity that they can pay for on a power grid that will fall short or even fail in a typical Alberta winter or summer. We refuse to go along with this plan. I mean, if they come through with the clean electricity regs, they will be mandating that we have to have essentially an emissions-free power grid by 2035. That means no one will build natural gas. We don't have a regulatory framework to build nuclear. No one will build nuclear. We don't have the resources to build hydro. No one will build hydro. So if we do not act, we will end up with instability in our grid. We will either not be able to grow as a province, or we will end up with brownouts and blackouts. That's the pathway that the federal government is giving us. And I've just said, no, we are not doing that. We're going to build enough baseload power so that we can continue to keep up with growth, which will be doubling the amount of power that we need, and we'll build whatever we need to. In our market, what makes sense is natural gas, abated to the best available technology available right now, which may not be in sync with the federal targets, but I want our industry to be able to make the best effort, and we'll see. I mean, if they're not prepared to take the risk that their executives are not going to be thrown in jail in 2035, then we'll have to be the generator of last resort, and we will have to build that ourselves. But this is the conversation we have to have with the industry about how do we de-risk these projects to make sure that we get, they get, businesses get, and Albertans get what they need. These measures are not something that we want to do. They are a plan to counteract the absurd, illogical, unscientific, and unconstitutional interference in Alberta's electrical grid by a federal government that simply doesn't care what happens to our province, so long as they have a good virtue signaling story to tell their leftist friends and special interests. We would much rather work with Ottawa on meaningful ways to reduce emissions while continuing to generate reliable, affordable electricity. That's better for all Albertans and Canadians. But we refuse to meekly accept actions which are so plainly destructive to Alberta's economy and to the very safety and security of Alberta citizens. We will do whatever we must to stand up and protect the people of this province.
Amen. There you go. You need to make that woman a saint. Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta. Now, this is something that I think Governor Greg Abbott should do for Texas. Seriously. Our federal government's not listening to us. And the guidelines, the timelines that they've set down for this emissions-free energy system are absolutely unattainable. They're not just unrealistic. From a scientific standpoint, they are unattainable. You can't do it. Maybe you can do it in 50, 75 years. You can't do it now. So quit asking for it to be done now. You can't do it. Have I made myself clear? But you, the citizen, have to make yourself clear, too. I think that you are derelict of duty if you vote Democrat. Because the Democrats are all too happy to suck up to these environ-Nazis. Now, think back. To all the times you voted in your life, have you ever voted for these environ-Nazis? These people like Greta Thunberg, Klaus Schwab? Have you voted for any of these people? Xi Jinping, you think he's worried about this stuff? Absolutely not. You should see this huge coal mine in central China. They still use steam locomotives to pull the trains. And of course, the steam locomotives are fueled by the coal that they mine on the spot. There are YouTube videos about it. You can look it up. But Xi Jinping and the Chinese don't give a hoot in hell about these emissions. And they never will. Not under that governmental system they have over there. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I don't know how sick their children are from breathing the byproducts of burning coal. But I don't hear about any problems. And you won't, because it's a communist system. You're only going to hear what they want you to hear. But we have gone too far off the deep end in this country and in the Western world, period. Look at France, idiots. Even Germany now. Germany's going off the deep end. This is going to be a very cold winter again in Germany. But you see, eventually, there's one thing about the Germans. Eventually, they do what's right. And they do what's right for their people. Give them time. They'll straighten it out. But here in the United States, I'm just not seeing any of this. So you need governors like Kristi Noem of South Dakota, Greg Abbott of Texas, Ron DeSantis of Florida. Jeez, I can throw in a bunch of others. Who's that governor up there in Iowa? You know, get these people together and enact a sovereignty act to countermand the idiotic dictates of our federal government. One of the stories I referenced at the beginning of today's podcast had to do with the home sales. Back in October, one in five home sales failed to close, according to Redfin. Well, Daryl Fairweather, who's the chief economist for Redfin, says there are several reasons why these home purchases are not closing. Interest rate volatility is one of the major ones, of course. And he was speaking to Texas in particular because generally, the Texas home market is always very good. We've been known for lower home prices than most of the other states in the union. And when a house goes up for sale in Texas, it's not up for very long. The listing lasts, in many cases, just a couple of weeks, and boom, house is sold. Well, in Texas, there are issues around property tax changes that it can also be a reason. They are lowering our property taxes here. And turns out the properties that haven't sold for some time may be on the tax rolls for less than their current market value. Now, Jillian Cunningham, realtor with EXP in Dallas, adds that uncertainty around the cost of home insurance can also cause problems during the escrow period as potential buyers are confronted by the true costs of owning their new home. And Cunningham agrees that interest rate uncertainty and levels are the biggest factors, and she says she tells her clients to date the rate and marry the house. Cash buyers can expect to have more leverage throughout the sale process, and leverage formerly held by sellers seems to have been dissipated as demand for homes has slowed, and it has. I mean, who's going to buy a home at an 8% interest rate? I have a daughter who is a realtor, and she's noticing the squeeze right now. People don't want to buy a house with these high interest rates. Now, there are some people who have a little money to their name, and they'll go in, they'll buy a house at the high interest rate, and then they'll refinance when the rates fall. And that's always an option. But if you're one of those idealistic type of people who has the idea that, look, I want to buy a house, raise my family, and have the house paid for by the time I've become an empty nester, which is always a worthy goal. But most of your home loans are running at 30 years. You throw in an extra, a couple of hundred dollars a month on your note. Yeah, you can pay off a house in 20 years, maybe 15. Idealistically, that's great. But what a lot of couples do is they buy the largest house they can possibly afford, take their chances with the utility bills and the interest rates and the property taxes, which could go any way in the future. You know, you get your annual assessment from your county, and good Lord, sometimes that number that they valued your property at is just knocks your hat in the creek. I remember on a number of occasions I had to go down to, this is back when I still lived in Harris County, Texas, lived in Houston. I had to go down to the offices there and say, look, I'll make a deal with you. If you can sell my house for what you have valued it, I'll sell it. You and I can go in as partners, and I'll split the difference with you. But I never had trouble with Harris County. Every time I went in to contest it, they said, yeah, you're right. And they would lower the assessment. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was really pretty simple. Never contested it here in Fort Bend County in the 21 years that I've lived here. But it's going to be interesting to see. Now, I'm going to be putting this place where I live right now up for sale soon, depending on what the interest rates do. Got to make a couple of adjustments to the house, but I'm not going to spend a lot on it. I mean, I'm going into a divorce. She's going her way, I'm going mine. We're splitting. What's hers is hers, mine is mine. And I've got to find a place that I can afford to live in. And I think I'm going to move to the other side of town. I'm going to go back into Houston because that's where my daughter lives, my oldest child. And I think I'd like to locate close to her. But I may locate in one of the smaller communities near where she lives so that I don't have to go into Houston to live. I may try Friendswood or Alvin or League City, some of the other communities down there. But I also want to be careful where I locate, too, because I want to make sure that I'm not in the flood zone. It's interesting. My daughter, Lisa, my oldest, who's the realtor, she lives in Clear Lake City. She's just, I mean, you can almost throw a brick at the manned spacecraft center, the Johnson Space Center, from her house. And she's lived there for, gee whiz, I think she's been there for about 20 years, hasn't she? Close to it. And that house has never, ever flooded. As close as they are to Galveston Bay, that house, that neighborhood, has never flooded. Even during Harvey, which was the what? I think they called that a 500-year storm. Yeah. And, of course, Harvey was awful because it rained on us torrentially for, what, 5 days? That was just bizarre. So, the situation here, though, with 1 in 5 closings fail, it's a direct reflection of our economy. And you don't need me to tell you that our economy truly sucks, even though the mainstream media, to this very day, the mainstream media is trying to convince you that the economy is not as bad as you think. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe the balance in your lying checkbook. To the Comedy Corner now, and you're going to love this lady, Kathy Ladman.
I did my makeup tonight to make myself look older and more tired. How'd I do? Thank you so much. Makeup is such a weird concept, isn't it? It's so random. Like, I'll get up in the morning, go into the bathroom, look in the mirror. Gee, I don't look so good. Maybe if my eyelids were blue, I'd be more attractive. Where did that come from? Okay, I'm doing it. Women don't want that. We don't want to look like toucans. That's not what we're going for. We want, like, what men want. Everybody wants to look younger. And gravity is making that impossible. That's why I keep a mirror by my front door to make sure I look presentable when I leave the house. So I was leaving the house recently. I looked in the mirror, and I saw something on my neck. So I leaned in a little more closely to see what it was, and it was my neck. My neck was hanging from my neck. How depressing is that? But I'm not getting plastic surgery. No, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. The most I'm willing to do is to hold my upper arm flaps back with chip clips. Because I don't want to hurt anyone when I'm waving goodbye. My skin has lost so much of its elasticity. Oh, man. You know what happened recently? I took a nap on a corduroy bedspread. It took 6 hours for the lines to come out of my face. Insulting. And then, oh, it doesn't stop. You know, I was in a ladies' room, one of the public restrooms, and it had one of those really high-powered hand dryers. You know those ones? The Dyson ones where you lower your hands into it? I looked down, and the skin on the back of my hand was flapping around like a flag. When I pulled them out, they looked like 4-day-old balloons. It's very depressing. But I like having gray hair. I really like having gray hair. It's very, thank you very much. It's very, thank you as well. It's very easy. It's very low maintenance. I love that. And I've noticed that I get a lot more looks from guys now that my hair is gray. And I think I know why. I think it's because they think I can't get pregnant. Yeah, guys like that.
Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.